Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry of Brookside Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman on staff at Brookside, and it has been our opportunity the last time we met to talk about Job and the fear that was paralyzing Job's life. God knew it, of course, and watched his servant for 60 years live in fear of the loss of things and people that were special to him. And God wanted Job to come to the end of fear, to come to the end of worry. And so God spoke to Satan. Isn't that amazing? And he said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And Satan said, "You touch him, you take away everything he's got, and he'll curse you to your face." And God said, "Go ahead and touch him. Take away everything he's got. Don't touch his body, but take away everything he's got, and we'll see." And so we see that Satan began to work on Job. Now, you see, Job was a man that was living in fear before his disaster. In fact, first of all, he was afraid of losing his children. The Bible tells us in Job chapter 1 and verse 5, "And it was so, when the days of the feasting of his children were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all of his kids. For Job said, 'It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.'" And the Bible then says, "Thus did Job continually." Now, that expression in the Hebrew means he did it every day. So every day, Job was offering sacrifices for sins that his sons may be committing in their hearts. Job is living in fear. The fear of his children going astray and not following God and loving God. Man, a parent really struggles when that is constantly his or her fear. But that's exactly where Job was living. And then the Bible tells us that he also was afraid that he was going to lose his wealth. The Bible tells us in chapter 3 and verse 23, after he lost everything, he says, "Why is light given to a man whose way is hid, and whom God hath hedged in? For my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters." Get this. "For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came." In other words, we see that he was afraid that he was going to lose it all. In fact, it's interesting that Flavius Josephus, the Jewish historian, reported that Job had put double herdsmen over all of his cattle prior to this time for fear of rustlers. He was living in fear. And that's exactly what he said. He said, "That which I greatly feared has come upon me." Can you imagine living in fear every day? That your children are going to somehow, in their hearts and minds, turn away from the Lord. And then live in fear that you're going to lose everything that you've got. And then live in fear that you're going to lose your health. Because he spoke these words after he had lost his health. And he said, "That which I greatly feared has come upon me." You know, Job's greatest trials weren't the pain of his losses, but the inability to understand why God allowed them, and how true that is for many of us who have gone through tremendous losses. It may not be the pain of the loss, but the inability to understand why God allowed it. And this is where we have to come to the point of understanding God as a sovereign God. It's the exact same point that Job finally came to at the end of his book. But when you fail to realize that God is a sovereign God, God loves me completely, God will only do that which he does for my good and his glory, I'm going to have to trust him. Because in the middle of the test, I don't understand what's going on. And so Job's fears were realized. Now, it goes back to faulty reasoning. And the same thing is true for you and me. When we don't have biblical reasoning, when we are not able to look at the circumstances that we're facing in reference to maybe our job or our success or our promotions or our health or our wealth, whatever it might be, when we don't have biblical perspective, then we have faulty reasoning. You see, Job had outside sources that were troubling him, giving him wrong perspective. For instance, Satan said, we worship God for wealth and health. And he told God specifically that. He said, if you let me take away everything that he's got, and then later, if you let me touch his body, he won't be worshiping you anymore. He won't be serving you anymore. That's faulty reasoning. Because we know that when we go through the loss of things and the loss of relationships, we begin to understand that the greatest possession that we have is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that makes us a part of the family of God, a part of His kingdom, a child of God. And yes, we may be deserted by our father and our mother. We may be deceived by other people and slandered by those around us, but never God. But Satan says, yeah, you just worship God for health and wealth. Well, when you get past that and you begin to say, no, that's not true, then Job's wife stepped in and she said, the loss of things to me is the same thing as the loss of life. You remember what she said in chapter 2 and verse 9? She said, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. She says to Job, Job, look, you've lost it all. Why are you still worshiping God and trusting God? Why don't you just curse God and die? Because to her, the loss of things was the same thing as the loss of life. What good is it if we don't have things? That's faulty reasoning. Because if our security and if our significance can be found in the things that we own, the things we have, then that's shifting sands. That is no security at all. So the outside sources really troubled him. You know, your outside sources will trouble you as well. They will tell you all kinds of reasons why you ought to worry, why you ought to be afraid, why it would only be normal to be afraid. And it's only a godly friend who will point you to the Word of God and help you to understand. No, no. God is in control, and God hasn't died. Now, I'm not talking about the kind of friends that Job had, because they said, oh, Job, look at everything that's happened to you. Obviously, this is a result of your sin, and we see that in chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. They had been silent for a solid week, and then they began to say, listen, you know, nobody suffers like this without there being hidden sin in their lives. All suffering is a result of sin. That was their attitude. You know what? That's not true. Many times we go through times of suffering because we are standing strong for the Lord. And God wants to make us an object lesson to others who are watching, to be able to see how our faith and our strength in God and our security in Him can hold up during the hardest times of our lives. So you may be dealing with faulty reasoning today. You may be struggling with the wrong thoughts about God, the wrong thoughts about the circumstances that you're going through. But God brought Job finally to the end of himself. Now, for 38 chapters, Job was acting correctly and worshiping the Lord. And he said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then the friends came in chapter 4 and began to falsely accuse him. And boy, that is the hardest thing to take. When you and I are falsely accused when we are not guilty. And at that point, we begin to look at God and say, Lord, where are you? Now, if you want to understand this, read the Psalms, because so many times the psalmist David experienced that very thing. God, where are you? How could you allow these things to take place? How could you allow these people to attack me and malign me and hurt me and chase me away from my kingdom? Lord, how could you do that? But you notice most of the time at the end of each psalm, there is a transfer time in the middle of that psalm when David finally says, but God, you are just, you are holy. And that's why we call David a man after God's own heart, because he refused to allow the faulty reasoning to continue. He focused again on God. And if you're having difficulty doing that, let me encourage you to saturate yourself in the Psalms. in the principles of God's Word. Saturate yourself with the story of Joseph, all the way from Genesis 37 to Genesis 50. Saturate yourself with the story of Daniel and how Daniel allowed God to use him as he determined he was going to trust God. Saturate yourself with the study of Job himself and how Job finally reached the point that he stopped arguing with God. We come to chapter 42, the last chapter of the book of Job. And the Bible tells us that Job stopped talking. Now for chapter 38 through 41, God was speaking to him. And he said, Job, where were you when I created the world? Where were you when I did this, when I did that? Basically, he said, Job, I'm in charge. Interestingly enough, he also pointed out that the animals had no fear in God's kingdom. The animals had no fear in God's kingdom because they trusted God. And so finally, Job stopped thinking and talking about himself. And he started thinking and talking about God's sovereignty and his strength. Listen to this. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Therefore have I uttered things that I understood not. Boy, we can all agree with that, can't we? We can all say, Lord, forgive me. I know that when it comes to your will being accomplished, when I don't understand it, many times I complain. Many times I fuss about it. Many times I even try to advise you, God. But Lord, that's not what you want to accomplish. You want me to finally reach the point that I learn to trust you. Now, notice how this happened. We go back to chapter 38, and notice what is told to us in verse 36. He says, Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts? Who hath given understanding to the heart? God is asking Job some very significant questions. And the same questions that we have to answer ourselves. Who is it that gives us understanding in our hearts? Job's answer, it was finally God. When he stopped talking and thinking about himself and started thinking and talking about God. We've come to the end of this broadcast, and I trust that this will just be a catalyst to cause you to spend the next couple of days just focusing your attention on God and how God worked in the life of Job to bring him to the point of understanding. It's not all about him, but it's all about God. And when you and I reach that point, we will begin to understand. We don't have to understand God because we never question a God that we know because of circumstances that we do not know. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.